Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this beautiful Sunday. You know, it's still the summer months going on, but hopefully you made it to Mass last Thursday. It was a holy day of obligation. Of course, that is the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And, of course, just to touch on that real quick, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ will say, you know, and if I beat up on any of you a little bit too much last week, I apologize, you know. Sometimes I get a little bit, excited, you know, and I really want my other, Christian brothers and sisters to experience, the fullness of Christianity, the fullness of the Catholic Church. And, you know, many people will also point to things, you know, the trials that are going on in the church, the sinful people. You know, we see these sinful people on display for us. They're not all Catholics, my brothers and sisters. They're not all Catholic priests or deacons or religious or popes or cardinals, you know, that are behaving so terribly sinfully. And quite frankly, you know, they talked about this expanding the amount of time. You know, I say make it endless for any crime, you know, especially crimes that are committed against children and young adults. Let us not forget that, because many of these crimes, especially that McCarrick committed, were against young men, you know, men who were 18, 19, 20 years old, who were going into the seminary, you know, and he's practicing homosexuality. You know, he's seducing these men. He's raping these men. And young men, and you think about that, the horror of that, you know, and then you can maybe identify with these people in Hollywood, you know, who they just want to start their careers, right? Young men and women, they want to start their careers, and instead they're met by these animals. These vicious animals is what I think they are. And they need to be incarcerated, you know, lock the door, throw away the key, do whatever it takes. But they should be out of circulation. They should be, and of course, you know, God has his way too. You know, people do end up out of circulation. Not to beleaguer the point on that, but I think, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the church is not, the Catholic Church is not sinful. Its members are. The people, Catholic people, individuals become very sinful. But the church is beautiful. The church is Jesus Christ. The church is our Savior. The church is our guiding light. The church is what we keep saying no to. No to the rules. No about marriage. No about sexuality. No about virginity. The society is telling us, you know, we're going to do what we want to do. You know? So, you know, my brothers and sisters, we need to be real about this. But back to the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, a very good point to remember is that there was no tomb. There was no grave. Mary was gone. And, of course, they'll say, well, where is that in Scripture? You know, we only believe what's in Scripture. If it's not written in Scripture, we don't believe it. Well, the fact of the matter is, even those words, Christ never said, believe everything that's in Scripture and follow Scripture. Christ never said that. And it doesn't say that in the Bible, in the front or the back or the middle. It doesn't say whatever's in Scripture, follow Scripture. It doesn't say that. It says follow His church. Christ says to follow the church. And so this beautiful, and it is a beautiful tradition, because it is what's awaiting for us, my brothers and sisters. This being assumed, being taken up into heaven. And in Mary's case, and in Moses' case, and Enoch's case, all these people in the Bible were taken up bodily. See? So the Assumption is real. The Assumption is true. And God bless the Blessed Virgin Mary, and God bless the beautiful tradition of the Holy Catholic Church. And I hope my brothers and sisters in Christ someday will come to the realization that it is all true. What the church teaches is true. So in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. This is in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. This is the Epiphany Radio Program. We're glad you're with us here today on this beautiful Sunday. You've heard the commercials too. We're going to be moving to 9 a.m. Of course, down in the Coldwater Sturgis area, they hear us at 9 a.m. anyway. But in the northern part of the diocese, they hear us on WKZO, which is the which is going to go to 9 o'clock. So we don't interrupt football. I think that's kind of funny, you know. But, you know, maybe you could get in some spirituality. But the main thing is that you go to Mass. We need to go to Mass. So also something that's going on in our diocese is at St. Mary's Church in Pawpaw on Friday, September 13th, 2019 at 7 p.m. David Haas is coming in. He's going to bring songs of prayer and stories of faith in a concert and this celebrating. And then we're going to have a workshop and a retreat, celebration of the Eucharist, Path of Spirituality and Discipleship. So call out to St. Mary's Catholic Church in Pawpaw for details on that. That's coming up on Friday, September 13th. So we'll try to say that the next couple of weeks, but if not, call St. Mary's Church in Pawpaw for more, Pawpaw, Michigan, for more details on that. So we're going to go right into our scripture readings. I'm going to set the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And, you know, one other thing, too, is that out of all three readings, you know, the one thing that was focused on was the middle reading, the reading from Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:54. And, you know, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? See? And that man's sins and women's sins are followed on by original sin and also are punishable by what? Death. Wow. Right? And so that is what, you know, the Assumption, this was on the Vigil Mass of the Assumption on Wednesday night last week, and it is so powerful. And I, praise be to God, Father Jorgensen let me preach about that. And, you know, it's hard to preach about sin, especially when you got little kids, you got older people, you got everyone, you know, but it is possible. And what we need to know is that we are sinners. We make mistakes. We need Jesus Christ. And for some people like myself, yes, I even need the Blessed Mother Mary to help me. Okay? I need, you know, when I need heart surgery, I don't just need one heart surgeon. I need two heart surgeons. Or a surgical nurse to help with the heart surgery. Because I'm a tough case. Okay? I'm a bad case. I need extra help. And with that extra help, the Blessed Mother helps me. And the main thing, like I preached about, the main thing is the Blessed Mother helps me to learn how to love. How to love. Even my brothers and sisters from other faiths, from other faith traditions, you know, where sometimes I say the word heretic and I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't call him a heretic. But the fact of the matter is the truth is in the Catholic Church. That's the fact of the matter. The truth is in the Catholic Church. So we need to think about our sinfulness. And as we go forward into these readings, this August 18th, the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we're going to continue on with these readings. So this is a reading from Jeremiah 38, 4 through 6 and 8 through 10. In those days, the princes said to the king, Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin. King Zedekiah answered, He is in your power. For the king could do nothing with him. And so they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of the prince Malachah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud. And Jeremiah sank into the mud. Abimelech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, My Lord King, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into a cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city. Then the king ordered Ebed-Melechek, the Cushite, to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm reading is Psalm 40, 2, 3, 4, and 18. Lord, come to my aid. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me. Lord, come to my aid. The Lord heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a crag. He made firm my steps. Lord, come to my aid. And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Many shall look in awe and trust in the Lord. Come to my aid. Though I am afflicted and poor, yet the Lord thinks of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, hold not back. Lord, come to my aid. Our second reading is from Hebrews, the book of Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising in shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, 49 through 53. That's 12, 49 through 53. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful words, kind of a little kind of a funny thing. You know, I think Jesus is kind of funny sometimes. He kind of makes little jokes. I try not to make jokes, you know, and when I'm preaching, but, you know, all of these things about things being divided, and I think most of us could agree with this, the mother-in-law part, right? So the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Easy divisions to be made, right? But also something for us to contemplate. Also something, as always, in the spiritual life, when we are connected, when we are praying every day, when we are reading the scriptures, when we are going to Mass, when we are receiving the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And we as Catholics, practicing Catholics, you know, there's very many Catholics call themselves Catholics. They go to church once or twice a year, or they just got baptized. They received the sacraments when they were younger, and now they're just wandering around aimlessly trying to find something to do. Call themselves Catholics, and people say to them, well, what about Holy Communion? And they say, well, as far as I know, it's just a cookie. Well, it's not just a cookie. And don't say you're Catholic if you don't know what you're talking about. Right? It's Jesus Christ. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we as clerics and as Catholics, as practicing Catholics, need to tell people that. You know, I kind of got hot and heavy about it last week. Even my wife told me, you know, you need to relax a little bit, a little less coffee or something. But it's very frustrating. And in these words, in the scriptures today too, we hear Jesus talking about, I wish it were already blazing. There's a baptism with which I am going to be baptized. And how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. He's talking about his passion, his crucifixion in front of us all. He's going to show us what we do to good people. We crucify them. That's what we do as human beings, as pagan dogs. That's what we do. We crush people. We think it's fun. We think it's exciting. The politicians do it to each other. And we're right there in it, right? Watching the news, addicted to the news, addicted to social media. You know, we want to be angry. Because you know what? As long as we're angry, we don't have to take responsibility for it, right? We can blame other people. We can blame other people, places, and things. You know, I don't have to grow up. It's the politician's fault. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. Oh, the teacher in school, it's her fault or his fault because my kids aren't learning anything. Well, you are the first teachers, parents. And if you haven't signed your kids up for CCD, you need to. It's your responsibility to take care of those children and that they're raised up in the church, whatever church you go to or don't go to or need to start going to, whether it's a Catholic church or whatever church. Your kids need spiritual training. They need that. They need it almost more than they need food and water. And they need the love and the comfort of Jesus Christ. And if they haven't been baptized, God forbid if they haven't been baptized yet, get them baptized. So in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. And I'm already getting fired up again. Here we go again. So God has got some beautiful things for us today. And, you know, try to make it to Mass. The other thing that's happening, of course, is the Save Nazareth, savenazareth.com. Go to the website, check it out, sign the petition. We are still trying to convince the management of the Sisters of St. Joseph not to destroy the historic, beautiful, historic chapel and mother house out on Gall Road. Send letters, send emails, make phone calls, call the Pope, call the nuncio in Washington, D.C. We're trying our best to communicate with all of these people, and it is falling on deaf ears. Isn't that sad? So we're praying. SaveNazareth.com. SaveNazareth.com. So also interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to Diocese of Kalamazoo website. diokzoo.org. If you want to contact me, you can go to deaconlouiszemlich.com. That's deaconlouiszemlich.com. So any thoughts or questions, concerns, anything You know, once in a while we try to even do little announcements for people here and there. But if you do have announcements of Catholic nature, go to holyfamilyradio.net. That's a good place to go. And also they have a great listing of all the Catholic radio stations throughout southwestern Michigan. So let's go right back into the scriptures today. Some powerful, really powerful readings. And I almost have to read this this over again. So that's the our first reading, of course, from Jeremiah. The church doesn't have really any big comment on that little piece of Jeremiah. But it kind of reminds me of the, kind of reminds us a little bit of the resurrection, right? They're bringing Jeremiah up out of this tomb. But 2654 in the catechism is on our psalm reading. 2654. The spiritual writers, paraphrasing Matthew 7:7, summarized in this way the disposition of the heart nourished by the word and God in prayer. Seek in reading and you will find in meditating. Knock in mental prayer and it will be opened to you by contemplation. So they're talking about that with Psalm 40, right? Meditating on that, contemplating on that. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid. And you think about that when you are really in dire straits, when you are really hurting, what a beautiful prayer to say. Lord, come to my aid. And then maybe there will be some clarity, maybe there will be some this moment of truth, this moment of healing that will come upon you, this moment of clarity, this epiphany that will happen, and you will say, I'm a sinner. I need help. I need Jesus Christ. I need the sacraments. I need the church. I need the Holy Catholic Church to help me and to guide me and to love me. Right? And to love me. So also, Hebrews, when we go into Hebrews, there's this great cloud of witnesses. And Jesus, that is who we follow. We follow Jesus Christ. We don't follow our clerics. We don't follow our deacons. We don't go to listen to a funny sermon or a bunch of jokes. We learn and we go to Mass to be challenged. Okay? So you gotta put on your big boy pants or your big girl pants or whatever. And when you go to Mass and the pastor says something to you, maybe it hurts your feelings or maybe it wakes you up, then you're getting your money's worth. Okay? Then that's why we go there. You can go to lots of other churches. It'll tell you, you know, give you a nice little Barney sermon. You know, we love you. I love you. Everybody loves and all this, you know, fun and good stuff. Okay, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, we're at war, my brothers and sisters. Look around us. You know, and the one thing that really drives me crazy is with the religious people who say it's going to be the end of the world. Well, back to scripture, okay? If you're going to practice what you preach, there's nowhere in scripture, actually in scripture where it says we do not know the time or the place. So as pastors and preachers, please don't say that. Don't scare people. Don't terrify people that it's the end of the world, that this looks like the end times. I got a brother and a brother-in-law who say that all the time. They've been saying that for the last 30 years. You know, Harold Camping said it his whole career. For 70 years, he preached that on the radio, that it was the end times. He'd even give dates. This is when it's going to end. Now, he's gone on to his reward, hopefully. Thanks be to God. But don't preach that stuff. You know, and don't repeat that stuff. If you're a Christian, don't say that to people. Looks like it's going to be the end of times. You better go to church this week. This is it. This is it. That's not what Christ wants. Christ does not want us to come to him in a big bundle of fear, terrified, you know, that the end is near. Christ wants us to come to him as children, open, willing, loving. That's why infant baptism is so beautiful. We don't have any of these preconceived notions in our mind that I'm doing this, you know. When you talk about grace, True grace is received in baptism, especially with an infant, because the parents are doing it on behalf of the infant. See? When I'm this preconceived notion that I'm doing this, I'm going to get baptized so that I can be saved. Well, that's a preconceived notion that you are doing something. Kind of goes against your theology, doesn't it? Right? About works. But the fact of the matter is, it's a preconceived notion. And we have these preconceived notions of what we think things should be or the way things should be. A preconceived notion that, well, I don't believe in the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I don't believe in the Queenship of Mary. I don't believe in the Immaculate Conception. Well, I'll tell you what, my brothers and sisters, you take away all of those Marian dogmas, Jesus is not divine anymore. And all of a sudden, we don't have a Savior. So think about that. When you take away the Marian dogmas that the Catholic Church holds to be true, you remove the divinity of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, my brothers and sisters, no one else but the devil would put that stuff in somebody's head, that none of those dogmas are true. So be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who your teachers are. So here we see in this great cloud of witnesses from Hebrews, Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Sinners, as sinners, we are the authors. Jesus' suffering and crucifixion. We are the authors of His crucifixion. Us. You and me. Sinners. Dogs. Pagans. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, even though He knew He would die at the hands of sinners. But we are saved, my brothers and sisters. We've been saved through our baptism when we were little babies. We are being saved this very day by our faith and our works and the things that we do by the grace of God for Jesus Christ. And we hope, by the grace of God, to be saved tomorrow, that we will still walk this path of salvation and believing in Jesus Christ. Finally, in our gospel, the casting of the Holy Spirit upon the earth and the cleansing fire. See, this is the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of His bloody death, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. And from His side came blood and water, which signifies the Holy Eucharist, which we receive in Holy Communion as practicing Catholics, as believing Catholics. And of course, water as baptism. The desire for Jesus to do the Father's will in His redeeming love. It's just amazing, my brothers and sisters. So in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemblick. This is here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. This is the Epiphany Radio Program. We just got a couple of minutes left. And I want to remind everybody, too, that this great book, this Anti-Mary Exposed, Carrie Grice, G-R-E-S-S, the Anti-Mary Exposed, it is a marvelous book. But even more so, learn about our bodies, right? This is where we learn about our bodies. We learn that our bodies are holy. I invite you to go to EWTN.com and look up St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. In one of his audiences on the 25th of June, 1980, the Holy Father continued his catechesis on theology of the body. The sin of Adam and Eve distorted the nuptial meaning of the body, its masculinity and femininity, which was meant to shape their communion. Their relationship was corrupted by lust, which includes the desire to possess the other rather than to receive him or her as a free gift. May Almighty God bless all of you, my brothers and sisters, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.